Today, it's Fine Folks Honest, the DFA Daily to the 22nd of September 2021. Hello again, it's Martin North from Digital Finance Analytics. Welcome to this post covering finance and property news with a distinctively Australian flavour. In today's show, we look at the latest from the markets and consider in particular the torrent of assurances streaming from some of the biggest money managers in the world as they assure their investors we are not facing a Lehman-style collapse triggered by Evergrande. Or are they just talking their book? And meanwhile, an awkwardly worded filing may suggest some bondholders have been placated. Chinese shares fell less than feared on Wednesday after a two-day holiday, bolstering global investor sentiment amid plans for an interest payment by China Evergrande Group and signs of support from the country's central bank. The Shanghai Index paired opening losses of as much as 1.9% after reports an Evergrande unit had negotiated a coupon payment with bondholders. An injection of short-term cash by the People's Bank of China also lent support, helping steady risk assets beyond the world's second largest economy. I think we may be seeing a temporary reprieve, with some repayments aiding to provide a better than expected situation than many would expect, said Jun Rong Yep, a market strategist at IG Asia. This also comes along with some injection of short-term funds by the PBOC, which suggests that they are monitoring the situation closely and are ready to step in if the economy comes under risks. US equity futures reversed early losses to edge higher in Asia trading, while the yen, a traditional haven for investors, retreated. Global investors have been on tenterhooks this week, awaiting the reaction of Chinese traders to concerns about Asia's biggest high-yield bond issuer and a crackdown on the country's real estate sector. Some $6.7 billion was wiped off the value of Hong Kong's four top property giants on Monday, amid a sell-off that ensnared even stocks with less tangible links to China. Investors are closely watching how Beijing plans to deal with the situation surrounding the world's most indebted developer. Evergrande has about 2 trillion yuan in assets, equivalent to about 2% of China's gross domestic product. The company's onshore property unit will make an interest payment for a bond maturing in 2025 on Thursday, according to a vaguely worded exchange filing. And meanwhile, China's central bank injected 120 billion yuan, which is about $18.6 billion, into the banking system through reverse repurchase agreements, exceeding the 30 billion yuan of maturities on Wednesday. The news on the repayment will be helpful and hopefully suppress some of the inevitable volatility and downside after the holiday break, said Gary Dugan, Chief Executive Officer at Global CIO Office. For confidence to return more meaningfully, it will need the market to see sight of the broad restructuring plans for Evergrande. That's consistent with the message from firms, including Citigroup, Fidelity, and AllianceBernstein, that indeed, even if Evergrande were to default, China's authorities will take steps to prevent the property giant's crisis from destabilizing the financial system and the economy. But of course, how would they know what's in the mind of the CCP? US stocks ended near flat on Tuesday after a broad sell-off the day before, with those worries about troubles in developer Evergrande and caution ahead of Wednesday's Federal Reserve policy meeting keeping a lid on the market. Trading was choppy, with the Dow and the S&P 500 easing session gains just before the close, while the Nasdaq finished slightly higher. Cyclical sectors, including energy and consumer discretionary, recovered more losses from Monday's rout, but gains were kept in check by concerns about a potential economic crisis in China and the wider implications for global growth, as beleaguered real estate giant Evergrande is unlikely to receive a government bailout. Evergrande, struggling for cash, owes $305 billion. We believe Beijing will only be compelled to step in if there is a far-reaching contagion causing multiple major developers to fail and posing systemic risks to the economy, the S&P ratings agency said in a note. Concerns over China Evergrande Group have put investors on edge and added to recent worries over economic growth from the Delta variant. Persistent default fears overshadowed efforts by Evergrande's chairman to boost confidence in the firm on Tuesday, while Beijing showed no signs it would intervene to stem any effects across the global economy, other than that cash injection today, of course. People have been preconditioned to buy pullback for most of last year, plus, said Michael James, Managing Director at Equity Trading at Wedbush Securities in Los Angeles. But that overhead nervousness is still there, he said. The Evergrande situation is still a black cloud hanging over global markets. Combine that with uncertainty with Fed commentary coming tomorrow, and there's a reluctance to get overly aggressive on the long side. Investors are waiting for the end of this week's Fed meeting that may shed light on when its massive purchase of government debt will begin to ease. The tentative rebound on Wall Street comes just as the Federal Reserve kicks off that meeting. And ahead of the meeting, the Fed's plan to trim its $120 billion monthly bond purchase program has dominated investor attention. But some say that the taper has already been priced in. I think that tapering is priced into the market at this point, Darren Sikora, CEO of Asymmetric ETFs, said in an interview on Tuesday. But high interest rates are going to be problematic for the consumer and for the economy going forward. Beyond the taper, however, the central bank's projections on the first rate hike, currently expected in 2023, could surprise markets. If the Fed does signal an earlier rate hike in 2022, that would be a negative shock for the equity markets. But I don't expect that, he said. Officials will reveal new projections, as investors are also on the alert for any timing on rate tightening. Evidently, investors there are concerned that the tapering announcement may come with hints of what the Fed might do next regarding rate increases as well. Something much more concerning for markets, IG's Beauchamp said. The Dow Jones Industrial Average fell 0.15% to 33,919. The S&P 500 lost 0.08% to 4,354. And the NASDAQ Composite added 0.22% to 14,746. Adding to the late-day bearishness, shares in American Airlines and JetBlue Airways fell after records in Boston federal court showed the United States and several US states on Tuesday filed an antitrust lawsuit against the companies. American Airlines ended down 2.8%, while JetBlue fell 4.8%. The volatility index was down 5.25% to 24.36. Gold futures for December delivery was up 0.64% to 1,775. Crude oil rose 0.71% to 70.64. And the euro US dollar was up just a little to 1.1725, while the US dollar's futures index was down 0.05% to 93.21. European shares rose on Tuesday after their biggest fall in 2 months on easing worries over the spillover from the crisis at China's Evergrande. The pan-European Stock 600 was up 1% after sinking to a two-month low in the previous session. Travel and leisure, media, mining and energy stocks led the gains, while the German's DAX rebounded from its lowest level since late July. European markets have been much more adept at holding on to their gains today than their US counterparts, said Chris Beauchamp, chief market analyst at IG. Britain's National Express rose 7.6% after rival Stagecoach Group said it was in talks with National Express about a possible all-share merger. Stagecoach shares jumped 27%. And Universal Music Group, the business behind singers such as Lady Gaga, Taylor Swift and The Weeknd, surged 35.7% in its first day of trading, giving it a market capitalization of more than 46 billion euros or 54 billion US dollars. And China Evergrande Group itself continued downward trends after the S&P Global Ratings warned that the developer is on the brink of default. We believe Beijing would only be compelled to step in if there was a far-reaching contagion causing multiple major developers to fail and posing systemic risks to the economy, S&P said in a report. China Evergrande failing alone would be unlikely to result in such a scenario. The focus is now on whether the company will be able to pay that $83.5 million interest payments for its March 2022 bond due on Thursday and a second $47.5 million interest payment for its March 2024 notes due on September the 29th. Chinese authorities have previously warned major lenders not to expect repayment of interest on bank loans due this week. However, some investors argue that some form of government intervention is inevitable as the crisis deepens. While we think that the government does not want to be seen as engineering a bailout, we expect it will step in to conduct a managed restructuring of the firm's debt to prevent disorderly debt recovery efforts, reduce systemic risk and contain economic disruption, Oxford Economics leading economist Tommy Wu said. However, financial conditions for the broader property sector will remain tense for some time, with some spillover into wider financial sector stress. Banks were expecting Evergrande to miss the deadline after China's housing ministry told them the company would be unable to pay on time. Now, it's unclear whether banks will formally declare Evergrande in default. Some are waiting for the developer to propose a loan extension plan before deciding on next steps. Evergrande's next closely watched debt deadline comes on Thursday, when it's due to pay interest on two bonds. The property giant's cash crunch has become a key focus for global investors. Risky assets plunged around the world on Monday amid fears that an Evergrande collapse might spark financial contagion and curb growth in the world's second largest economy. While many China watchers predict Beijing will take steps to contain any fallout from Evergrande's crisis, official silence on the company's plight is unnerving investors. Evergrande has borrowed about 572 billion yuan, or $88.5 billion, from banks and other financial institutions, including trusts, with nearly half due in less than a year, according to its latest financial statements. China Menxing Banking Corp, Agricultural Bank of China, and the Industrial and Commercial Bank of China are among the company's principal banks at the end of last year. And as Bloomberg highlighted, after a harrowing Monday that saw risky assets tumble globally on fears of a collapse in the Evergrande Group, some of the world's biggest banks and money managers raced to assure investors that this is no Lehman moment. So Barclays, for example, said, "Is this China's Lehman moment? Not even close, in our opinion," they said. "Yes, Evergrande is a large property firm, and yes, and there could, probably will be, spillover effects on China's property sector with economic implications. And yes, it comes at a time when China's growth has already started to disappoint. But a true Lehman moment is a crisis of a very different magnitude. One would need to see a lender's strike across large parts of the financial system, a sharp increase in credit distress away from the real estate sector, and banks being unwilling to face each other in the interbank funding market. With all of that, we would also need to see massive policy mistakes on the part of the Chinese authorities. In our view," they said, "the conditions are simply not in place for even a large default to be China's Lehman moment." And Citigroup said, "We do not see the Evergrande crisis as China's Lehman moment, given policymakers would likely uphold the bottom line of preventing systemic risk to buy time for resolving the debt risk and push forward marginal easing for the overall credit environment. We believe regulators may buy time to digest Evergrande's non-performing loan problem, for example, guiding banks not to withdraw credit and to extend interest payment deadlines." An Aberdeen Standard Invest in Asia said, "Our base case is that there will be a relatively orderly restructuring. It's not in the interest of policymakers, the economy or the market to go into a destabilized, uncontrollable spillover and have this impact other parts of the economy. Near term, there will be uncertainty and volatility, but outside of Evergrande, policymakers will be able to engineer some sort of recovery from this." And UBS said, I don't think this is a Lehman moment. I think that when you try to reduce moral hazard after four major credit cycles, it's going to be messy. The biggest risk out there is not what happens to suppliers or what happens to the financial system in the near term. I don't think that's an issue. I think China has managed that reasonably well. Default levels are pretty low in the overall economy, and the capital adequacy for banks, particularly the large banks, is quite high. I think the most important issue is what this does to the collateral of the entire credit boom, which is property prices and therefore confidence in property itself. And Fidelity International said, if we look at the past 3 years, we've seen restructuring that the government or the regulators have been involved in, whether it's Hurong, China Fortune Land, and other single credit events. So they have the confidence in terms of this potential restructuring. The likely scenario is that they will avoid bankruptcy when it comes to Evergrande and seek restructuring with strategic investors or bridge investors. The priority from a domestic perspective and the sentiment perspective is projection, completion, and supply chain cash settlements. Morgan Stanley said the expectations of a broad contagion may be overdone. Clearly, the impact on growth is there, but I think the key point here is I continue to believe this is not going to be a moment like we had back in 2008. There has certainly been a subtle change in signals from the policymakers in China. A lot of that we think is already reflected in the price. And JP Morgan Chase said the market sell-off is primarily driven by technical selling flows, CTAs and option hedges, in an environment of poor liquidity and overreaction to discretionary traders to perceive risks. Our fundamental thesis remains unchanged, and we see the sell-off as an opportunity to buy the dip. Risks are well flagged and priced in, with stock multiples back in post-pandemic lows for many reopening recovery exposures. We look for cyclicals to resume leadership at Delta Inflex. And Jeffries said, against the market view, we see regulators keeping a close eye on Evergrande and think it could soon put forward a plan or meaningful progress to reduce the impact. We expect a plan to resolve the issues or help make meaningful progress to be out by the end of the year, also possible within 1 to 2 months, as China will focus on boosting the first quarter 22 economic growth, starting from the fourth quarter 21. And Macquarie said a major concern is the contagion risk for other high leverage developers, as banks, suppliers and home buyers would all turn more cautious in view of the Evergrande saga. As a result, a self-fulfilled liquidity crunch could happen to other high leverage developers. That said, the government has the will and the capability to intervene if the market goes panic. It could break the negative feedback loop by easing liquidity, as what it did during the interbank credit crunch in 2013. And moreover, given property policy, it's unprecedentedly tight at this moment. Policymakers have plenty of room to loosen it if they want. It seems that they are willing to wait a bit longer to reduce the moral hazard in the future, but they could step in any time for the sake of financial and social stability. And AllianceBernstein said, there is very little likelihood of default spilling over into a systemic crisis. First, Chinese regulators are the ones triggering the most recent fall in Evergrande. The regulators have prepared for it, and they will be able to manage it through. Because there is a low likelihood of a systemic crisis, many of the Chinese developers, particularly in the higher quality companies with strong balance sheets, capable management and good product reputation, will survive this round of correction. In the market panic over the last 2 weeks, their valuations have already overshot on the downside. In our opinion, these select quality developers present compelling return opportunities for long-term minded investors. And Oxford Economics said concerns over the rising default risk at Evergrande, the property developer, have roiled financial markets over the last week. While we think the government doesn't want to be seen as engineering a bailout, we expect it will step in to conduct a managed restructuring of the firm's debt to prevent disorderly debt recovery efforts, reduce systemic risk, and contain economic disruption. So the mainstream view has definitely turned to say, nothing to see here, just move on. we'll watch and wait to see what happens, because it may not be as simple as some think. Now, if you're buying your home in Sydney's contentious market, you don't need to stand alone. This is the time you need to have Edwin Almeida from Ribbon Property Consultants standing alongside you. Buying a property is both challenging and adversarial. The vendor has a professional on their side. Emotions run high, price discovery and price transparency are hard to find, and then there's the wasted time and financial investments that you make. Edwin understands your needs, so why not engage a licensed professional to stand alongside you? With RPC, you know you have experience, knowledge, and master negotiators looking after your best interests. So shoot Ribbon an email at info@ribbonproperty.com.au. And if you use the promo code DFAWTW/Martin, you can get a 10% discount offer. I'm Martin North from Digital Finance Analytics. Many thanks for watching, and I'll see you again next time.